Hello, everybody. Welcome to Objection, the worldwide leader in contrarian a-holery. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Dan Mancini. Dan, welcome.
Greetings.
This is shocking. We're actually recording this almost a week before it has to air, which is unheard of for us. But it just shows you our commitment to getting ahead of these podcasts. Also, because our special guest has got a very tight schedule, and that is, of course, Judge Mike Rubino. Mike, how's it going?
Thank you. I'm wanted in many places, and I'm appearing on 27 different podcasts this evening.
You're in high demand. I'm glad you squeezed us in your black shirt. Well, we had teased about this last week, Dan, but since we're in the grips of March Madness, we thought it'd be fun to do an athletic-inspired event. In fact, you can make the argument that you're really kind of in the magic time for a lot of sports. You've got spring training, you got the NHL and NBA playoffs about to start,
yeah.
And you've got a great NFL lockout happening. So you really got everything going on.
It is the nexus of athleticism.
It is. Yeah. And so the three of us probably aren't terribly athletic. We're going to live vicariously through this podcast and make fun of athletes who turned into action/movie stars, and it didn't go really well. So this is going to be our draft. We're going to have a lottery draft where each of us are going to go around and draft an athlete, professional athlete turned actor, and we're going to try to assemble our own Expendables type of crack squad of crime fighters who are made up entirely of underperforming.
Right. It's halfway between the Expendables and the 1992 Dream Team.
Yes. Or the 96 Dream Team that came in fourth place or something.
That's right.
So these aren't the Expendables, but I suppose if you took a look at them now, they'd probably be a little portlier, so we could call them the Expandables, maybe. That's what we'll go with. So these are the underperforming athletes turned action stars, crack squad of crime fighters. And Mike, since you are our special guest, you have the first overall draft pick. So the number one overall pick goes to you.
All right. Well, I'm going to choose legendary basketball star and also legendary rap star.
Yes.
And legendary film star, Shaquille O'Neal.
That's a strong choice to build your team.
Thank
yes,
you.
It is.
He went one overall in the basketball draft anyway. Might as well draft him on this one too.
Yeah, yes. We're covered in the center now.
Exactly. He's the kind of guy who can work down low, and he did that in the movie Steel, where he played a butchered version of that Superman character, where he teamed up with like a wheelchair bound scientist kid, and they fought some sort of crime or inner city crime or something, and it really, as far as I can remember, it had nothing to do with the Superman stuff. But it was a terrible movie. So Steel with Shaquille O'Neal.
I think I avoided it. And you know, there was one other thing you left out. He's a video game star as well.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I mean,
Shaq Fu.
That's right. Shaq Fu. And there might've been a Steel video game if I remember.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe not. But you know, he was also in Kazam.
Kazam. Yeah.
Which is not considered an action movie.
But, well, I think his film debut was in Blue Chips with Nick Nolte, which I guess was a half-hearted, you know, it was an actual attempt at a real movie. And then it just kind of went all downhill.
That's right. Was Penny Hardaway in that too? Or was
Oh, yes, he was. Good call. Okay.
He was also on the rap album.
Yeah. Was Lil Penny in there?
Oh, Lil Penny.
Ooh, I hope so. I mean, I bought the rap album from Columbia House. To put this in perspective, gentlemen. I was obligated to buy a CD, and yeah. I chose that one.
And you're still paying that off too, right?
I am. It was $450.
All right, good. That's a good start to the squad. So we've got Shaq in Steel. So he's lumbering around in his big Steel awful outfit. So, Dan, you have the number two pick.
Okay, and I was going to go with the center, but I'm gonna push that off to a later pick, and we'll pick up a nice guard here and go with Michael Jordan in Space Jam,
the greatest
movie in which he gets outacted by Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck,
and Patrick Ewing and Larry Johnson, who are just playing Brent Dead, like brain dead athletes who got zapped by aliens. That tells
right.
you on a level.
Right. I mean, Jordan in the movie basically proves that the one thing that that he's maybe worse at than baseball is acting. Even though, you know, he had plenty of charisma in commercials.
Right, absolutely. They could have
hurt some stuff. But,
if only
but
that movie would have been. That's right. If only the movie would have been 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
Then he would have been able to maintain it.
Well, seeing that it was just an extended commercial for like Warner Brothers Animation and Air Jordan sneakers and, you know, and Nike, I suppose they probably could have done it for 30 seconds and kept the substance intact. So,
yeah. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And of course I went to see it because growing up in Chicago and you know, seeing the very beginning of Jordan's career and everything, and you know, you have to go see it, but
you don't see any bronze statues of Jordan and Yosemite Sam out front of the United Center, do you?
No, but wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be great, a big bronze statue of Yosemite Sam forcing Michael Jordan to climb up the big ladder with the diving board like that. Bugs Bunny cartoon, one of my favorite ones, where he keeps forcing Bugs Bunny, or tries to force him to jump off the high dive into the little pail of water.
Well, Chicago's got the tax money to do it, so they should go with it, I think. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, good. That's a great swing man. So, all right, so far we got Shaq in the middle. We got Jordan at the number two. We need a point guard, so you have to go with my number three pick, Kurt Thomas, as Jonathan Cabot in Gymkata. Gymnastics champion Kurt Thomas, and he's agile. He's got cat-like agility. He can distribute the ball. Mike, you were like relatively new to the Gymkata phenomenon, correct?
That's right. I mean, in the past 6 months or so, I've seen it a few times because I stumbled upon it at an FYE and bought it instantly. And
for like about $2 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So it's I think it's a good choice on your part. I mean, he's small. He reminds me of like Spud Webb.
Very good. Yeah.
You know, so that's he's and he's got a mean kick.
He's feisty.
He does.
He's unflappable. So you know, if it's getting into crunch time. You know, because there's that scene where he's at the dinner table, and what's his face? I don't know, the big bearded lunatic, you know, threw that knife right at his face.
That's right. He didn't even move. He didn't move. The other thing is, if you are lucky enough to come across something that resembles a pommel horse in the middle of a basketball court,
right?
Nobody's going to stand a chance.
And if anyone, and if you're like the team's hands are sweating over a gunfight, he can magically generate like gymnast chalk.
Yeah.
You know, just out of nowhere, he'll generate it.
Right. I mean, if he happens to have a stone that is shaped exactly like a pommel horse,
yes,
he will flare you to death.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, I would go as far as saying one of the special moves in our squad here is Shaq, all up in his steel costume, could probably take the form of a rudimentary pommel horse. Right?
Yeah.
And the two of them work in tandem and just dominate bad guys while Michael Jordan stares blankly.
He could at least hold his arms out and use them as like
hops, you know? Absolutely. The uneven bars, correct. All right, well, we got a very strong nucleus here. That's like a big three to build around. Yeah, so let's move on to the middle of the round. Pick number four, Mike.
I'm going to go with Hulk Hogan, Terry Hulk Hogan from Thunder in Paradise. So you know, Hulk Hogan did a whole bunch of movies throughout the late 80s and 90s. But the one that really sticks out in my mind is the sort of Knight Rider as a boat ripoff, which was Thunder in Paradise. It was a TV movie, and then it was a TV series for a whole season. And according to this, he played R.J. Hurricane Spencer.
Of course he did.
Yep. He's an ex-Navy SEAL and a confirmed bachelor, struggling to make ends meet. And according to IMDb, and he had a sweet, gigantic black boat that he just kind of took around the harbor there.
It never crossed his mind to sell that boat on Craigslist or something for some cash to make ends meet.
No way, man. He's a bachelor. He needs it to get chicks. Because he's certainly not going to get chicks because of his flowing reverse mullet and blonde mustache. So.
I gotta say, I don't see Hulk Hogan as a Navy SEAL. I can't imagine him sneaking around.
And
stabbing people, you know.
Yeah, I could only see him leg dropping people, which is really hard to do.
While yelling "brother" and snapping into a Slim Jim.
Yes.
All right, good pick. So, I mean, that's definitely your power forward right there. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So this team is coming along nicely. All right, Dan, your pick, number five.
All right, now I'm going to go ahead and back us up in the center here and go with Kareem. Kareem in specifically in Game of Death with Bruce Lee. Because, of course, he was actually pretty good in Airplane.
Of course. Yes.
But Game of Death is another story in which he basically just wears a dashiki and sunglasses and sits in an attic until Bruce Lee shows up and then is mainly just terrifying because of his height, especially in contrast to Bruce Lee, and the fact that he just kind of looks creepy in a dashiki and really short shorts and bare feet.
Yeah, that's his trademark.
About 12 feet long. Yeah.
Yeah, the short shorts. So.
Yeah, the short shorts, and you know, but at least when he was on the court, he was wearing shoes. So it's really creepy in Game of Death because he's barefoot and his feet are, you know, larger than a normal sized human being, I would say.
So essentially he'd be creeping out all the villains on the misadventures our team would go on. Is that what you're implying?
Yeah.
And we just take a lot of punishment until they get tired?
Yeah, Bruce Lee mainly is you know, almost defeated primarily because he appears flummoxed throughout the fight.
Ah.
He just keeps looking at Kareem like, really? This guy exists? Seriously? And while he's baffled, then, you know, he gets thrown around a little bit. But
nice. Go, flummox popper.
Yeah.
All right, good. You know what? I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to team him up with another big guy. So we're going to have some imposing figures here. I'm taking Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain as from Conan the Destroyer.
Nice.
If you recall, he was the personal bodyguard to that whiny little Princess Puke the whole time and barely did anything. I don't think his expression changed once in that movie. You know, even when he got the business end of a broadsword from Conan, Wilt was just kind of there, I suppose. Though I think he'd be helpful on this team because he would theoretically seduce every female agent they would come across, right?
Right.
So,
yeah. At least 10,000.
At least 10,000 of them, yes. So, yeah. So Wilt's turn, I mean, Conan the Destroyer is biblically awful, you know, catastrophically bad. So, and you can't lay that blame on Wilt, but he was just kind of a small cog in the awfulness that movie was.
So. Yeah, he has no presence in that film, but nobody really does.
Right.
Even the only thing I'm impressed really by have much of a presence.
The only thing I'm impressed by is they put him on a horse. That was kind of cool. So.
Yeah, that did look ridiculous.
Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain on a horse was something.
It looked like somebody riding a dog. Like a sized person riding a dog.
That's right. All right. Okay, we're now in the last part of the draft. The team is coming together nicely. So, Mike, who is your final pick?
All right. Well, I'm going to go playing it safe with this last one and going with a reliable on-screen personality and commentator and firefighter, Howie Long.
Yes, I believe he's jumper, not a ground
jumper. That's right. That's right. He is a smoke jumper, Howie Long from Firestorm, which – you know, we recently did a commentary track for over at the Friday Filibuster, so I'm quite familiar with his antics, which involves fighting people with canoes and killing
throwing
people.
Chainsaws off the back of dirt bikes.
That's right, tossing chainsaws and killing people underneath canoes.
Well, he kind of sucked in that movie because he only was responsible for one guy's death, you know, when he shoved William Forsythe's head out that canoe. Because remember, right. All the other bad guys either like they killed each other, they fall off cliffs and stuff.
That's right. No, yeah, he never really hurt anybody. I mean, he tried to hurt that guy with the plastic canoe, but that wasn't really effective.
Right.
Right. You know, but when he did decide to actually kill somebody in that movie, it was in the most horrific way possible.
It was worse than something you see in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, he stuck a man's head through the top of a boat just as an explosion. Swept by and incinerated the man's face.
Right, and that was after throwing an axe at him.
That's right. He did. That's
which,
right.
You know.
Which, when the eventual 3D reimagining shows up, that'd be a great scene, right?
Yeah.
So many 3D opportunities, as we covered in that podcast.
That's right. Chainsaws and axes and canoes.
And but maybe the ultimate display of Howie Long's manliness in that movie is the fact that at least twice a trainee drops an axe and almost kills him, and he just sort of laughs it off as shenanigans.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah, he's that same dorky trainee screws up twice, right? And yeah, he's okay with it. He also is okay with his ridiculously colored outfit.
Yeah, and his pants that button up at his nipples.
That's right. Yeah. His red and yellow, whatever, get up that they
yeah.
all
Yeah, they all had mustard-colored shirts for some reason. Apparently mustard is the preferred color for smoke jumpers.
See, that explains
I'm not sure
his...
about ground pounders. I would guess like forest green would
probably,
be.
Probably, or yeah. hot pink or something, because no one likes smoke ground pounders. Again, that is a hate crime, though, so we got to watch when we, say ground pounder. I would think that his homicidal outburst of violence in the canoe death scene probably stemmed from all that stuff being pent up, you know, dressing, being forced to dress like an idiot, being forced to deal with idiot rookies.
Yeah.
You know,
so what you're saying is like this bad guy was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Absolutely.
He was just fighting the wrong guy.
He was. He got, I mean, and he paid for it dearly.
And what's dangerous about Howie Long is he's like a pit bull in that you really can't read his mood from his facial expression.
That's true.
It could be anything. It could be rage. It could be happiness. You know, it all looks the same.
He is the Buster Keaton of our time.
Yes.
I don't know. I think compared, when you compare a pit bull compared to Howie Long is like a front man for an emo rock band, you know, because Howie redefines stony expression. So, and the added bonus of having it on your team is you can like serve snacks and refreshments on the top of his flat top.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He's great for after the game.
I mean,
he also enjoys ping pong. Didn't they play a lot of ping pong?
Oh, they did play a lot of ping pong,
yes,
right?
Yes, they sure did. I mean, with exploding ping pong balls occasionally.
Yes, yes, which is a great weapon, right? Maybe that's his primary attack. You know, just, I guess.
Well, smoke jumpers are into practical jokes that involve arson in some way. You know,
yes.
They're like explosions and fire, and you know.
Though I could see if this were like a fighting game that we were stockpiling a roster for, you know, forward, down, forward, high punch, and Howie Long just throws axes, you know. Forward, down, forward, all three high punches, and there's chainsaws. It's a special move. He's moving right to left, little digital Howie Long, axe, an occasional exploding ping pong ball. All right. Well, congrats, Howie. Your spot is secure for sure.
So, yeah, much deserved spot.
Much deserved. And usually, Dan and I do these podcasts, whatever movie we're talking about, we feel compelled to go watch. Though having watched Firestorm and realized it was not as nearly as cool as I remember it being, I am not compelled to go rewatch Firestorm. I just need to say that right now.
No, yeah, I've seen it twice in the past, 6 months. So that's enough for a while.
It's
enough till I completely forget. Like maybe in a decade, I'll be like, I can't remember if I like Firestorm or not.
That's right. Only when Alzheimer's.
Go, oh yeah, not.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Who do you have?
Well,
the bench.
Know, right. Yeah. When you're assembling a team like this, it's important to take into account that if the going gets rough, you may need to resort to murder. So,
yes.
So I'm going with former running back O.J. Simpson and his role in the Naked Gun series, which has pretty much ruined that series. I mean, it's difficult to go back and watch them and find much humor in. But even before he became infamous, he was pretty bad in those movies.
You know, you use him, you deploy him for the jobs that Howie Long is too, he's too skittish to take on. You know, it's like Howie says, I will shove a man's head through a canoe until his face burns off from a firestorm, but you better send OJ on this
right.
one.
But I draw the line.
I draw a line somewhere.
Point, Yeah, and then you send OJ, and then, he denies doing it and then writes a book about, how it would have happened if he did do it, even though he didn't do it.
And plus, he would be awesome if there was one of the tasks facing our team was if you had to do an incursion into an apartment and steal memorabilia, sporting memorabilia, right?
Yeah.
He'd be the guy. He'd be the guy to run point on that.
Right. Plus, if you need to get to your gate at an airport, he's really good at running through an airport and leaping over luggage and people and stuff to get.
Or he'll flag you down a Hertz car.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's great once you have the car, too, just making good time on a freeway.
That's right.
Right.
In fact, I would hazard saying that our entire team travels in a very, you know, a very nice Hertz van, perhaps, right?
Yeah, they're always there way early.
Always early. Great punctuality. All right. Now, Barry, deep on the bench, is the final pick here. And I know I'm kind of flying solo on this, but not for long because Dan Mancini put his order in.
I did.
And I really need to encourage...
Less than $5, including shipping.
I need to encourage Mike Rubino to get on board as well.
Uh-oh.
But we are welcome. Our final draft pick is... world kickboxing champion, like in the 80s, I guess, Curtis Busch, who starred in Psycho Kickboxer.
Nice.
And that is one of my all-time favorite terrible action movies.
I have written it down.
Please, yes.
Just for the record.
Dan, you ended up with it for like $6 or something, right?
Yeah, no, it was less than five. It was like
less than five.
Four, yeah, it was $1.95 for the disc itself, and then you know $2.98 for shipping.
I guarantee you, you will see your investment rewarded like three times over just watching this over and over with your friends. Psycho Kickboxer, Curtis Busch starring in it. I mean, we've got some pretty terrible actors. We've you know run down the list here, but I guarantee you, Curtis Busch puts them all to shame. He is just terrible in this movie. He's got, and plus he's got this great, like, high school yearbook mustache. You know, the mustache that's not quite come in fully through the whole movie, which is fantastic. The idea is that he was beaten and left for dead by a criminal gang, and he is resuscitated and trained by a Vietnam vet in a wheelchair in an abandoned warehouse. The abandoned warehouse happens to have full power and lighting and a tricked out gym inside it for some reason. And he dons some ninja garb and goes out in the middle of the night actually sometimes in broad daylight as well, to defend the helpless, you know, from the criminal element. And by defend, I mean brutally murder. He loves murdering people, loves it. Some guy was trying to carjack an old lady, so he punched the guy in the face. The guy fell on the ground. And the lady put her car in drive, drove over the carjacker's head, squashed it like a pumpkin. The psycho kickboxer was more than happy to oversee that. So,
excellent.
Yes, he is an excellent choice. I'd recommend everybody to seek out Psycho Kickboxer. Even though he'd probably get no playing time in our team, he is a force to be reckoned with.
And he's great in the locker room. Like, he provides the morale.
That's true. Even though people may not listen to him because he's psycho, you know.
Right. But, you know, you need a guy like that who's not really going to play.
That's right.
When the chips are down, he's in the locker room saying, no, the chips are going to be up soon.
That's right. He is a positive.
Trust me. Yeah. And I just did a quick search in Wikipedia for Psycho Kickboxer. There is not a Wikipedia page for that fine film. However, it does redirect to Curtis Busch. And just a little fun fact I discovered. His nickname when he was fighting was Curtis the Explosive Thin Man Busch.
What? That's made up.
What?
That's made up.
I mean, that sounds like someone with Crohn's disease, frankly.
The Explosive Thin Man. Yeah.
It also says that he played an army sergeant in Lost at some point in 2006.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. If you were to go to you can see some screen grabs of this fantastic movie on my review for the DVD Verdict. As he stands in front, he's in his he's in his ninja garb, staring down some neighborhood toughs, and they're about 10 years old or so, and they're laughing at him. That kind of gives you a sense of what to look for.
When I ordered the DVD, the DVD cover, I believe, is him kicking someone's head off.
Yeah, it's not very far off from what you'll see. Here's a couple lines as well. His name. He plays a guy named Alex, and he's teaching a karate class full of children, and this is one of his actual lines. Remember, karate is used only for self-defense. If I hear any of you going out looking for trouble or becoming karate bullies, I'm going to smash you myself.
I'm looking at your review now. This looks amazing.
It is amazing. Joshua, who is the Vietnam vet / Mr. Miyagi trainer, quote, "Well, I'll be damned. You just never know when you'll find a half-dead white boy in this town."
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I really need to can't stress that strongly enough.
Curtis the Explosive Thin Man Bush.
Yeah. Wow. Is that supposed to strike fear into...
Apparently, yeah.
Is it a bad guy?
Well, I mean, let's see. I mean, it says he was 6 feet tall and he weighed 154 pounds.
Aren't nicknames generally shorter than your real full
name?
They
should be, right?
Yeah.
You think Bushmaster would be perfect, you know? Bushmaster. That's a gun. But no.
No. Explosive Thin Man. That's a gun.
Well, maybe that's the name of our superhero squad, the Explosive Thin Men. Maybe that's what it comes down to.
I guess kickboxers aren't that creative or inventive when it comes to nicknames. Because that's pretty weak.
Yeah, it is pretty weak.
I wonder if they're all like that.
I mean, I would really say this with a Gymkata Psycho Kickboxer double feature, you know, is really the way to go. Although, I've been perusing other, you know, what are other action movies out there? Have you guys heard of Samurai Cop?
I have. I've never seen it.
Yeah,
I've
heard of it. I need to track that down next. See if I get DVD Verdict to subsidize a purchase of Samurai Cop, because the clips I've seen of it look fantastic. But that is neither here nor there. Our team has been assembled as a strong squad of underachieving action stars, or athletes. You know, I think all these athletes are actually accomplished, right? The ones that we've named. So,
yeah, how these accomplished
athletes turned underachieving action movie stars.
I was going to say, if anything, they're just restless, and they wanted more than just athletic success. They wanted box office success.
That's true.
Oh.
And it was denied them. And instead, they're laughing.
For good reason.
Yeah. And they all shot air balls.
So. They did. Absolutely. You know, you're a hockey guy, Mike. Were there any hockey guys ever make the transition? I know Wayne Gretzky was in that animated
show. Pro All-Stars cartoon. But I don't even know if that was his voice. It might have just been his likeness. But, you know, I could not think of any offhand. I mean, there are a couple real hockey players in Sudden Death. Luke Robitaille being a big one, but he just plays he plays himself.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know if that really counts. But
anything in Sudden Death counts.
That's true. if there's a tagline for this podcast, it's anything in Sudden Death counts. Correct.
That's right.
Well, hockey is underrepresented, but nothing we could do about it. You know,
that's right.
What do you want from us? So.
No, and it is March Madness, so you know I think
that's right. We are
it's
basketball.
Fair that we had that we were heavy on basketball.
So, all right, well, very good. I think that brings an end to this edition of Objection. Mike, thank you so much for kicking it with us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You really helped us assemble just a fantastic team, and we have to generate some kind of clip art to signify its awesomeness. So, I guess thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, the Old White Man Cabal, for again helping to underwrite this podcast with a generous grant. Dan,
absolutely.
What is left to be said?
Thanks, 10 points easy.